In the remote wilderness of Vancouver Island, Madrona Lodge rises from the mist like a sentinel, isolated, imposing, and harboring secrets that defy natural law. Sydney Denick arrives believing she's joining an elite research foundation to study fungi and advance Alzheimer's treatments. The reality? She's been here before and died here. The pristine research facility operates under a chilling mantra: don't try to change the lodge, let the lodge change you. This seemingly benign advice gradually reveals itself as a warning of the facility's transformative and destructive power. Cut off from the outside world with no phones, internet, or even radio contact, Sydney finds herself trapped in a place where reality itself seems negotiable, and the boundaries between life and death have been systematically dismantled. What would you sacrifice for scientific immortality? Your ethics? Your memories? Your very identity? These questions haunt every shadowy corridor of Madrona Lodge, where brilliant minds have crossed lines that were never meant to be crossed. Sydney embodies the double-edged sword of scientific ambition. Since childhood, she dreamed of becoming a mad scientist, conducting boundary-pushing experiments. Her fascination with creating life became her defining trait, one leading to both achievement and downfall. As a child, she studied fungi reactions and observed slugs dying in salt, driven by what she calls the pure fucking boredom of poverty. Her desperation for recognition drives her to join Madrona despite losing her Stanford scholarship. When Everly discovers this deception, she's impressed rather than angry, recognizing a kindred spirit willing to do anything for advancement. Men lie, especially men with power, Everly tells her, creating false solidarity that masks manipulation. The most chilling revelation? Sydney herself suggested experimenting on Farida after her suicide and made the breakthrough that allowed them to resurrect the dead. Her resurrected self, stripped of this amoral drive, represents a different answer to the central question: is scientific advancement worth any cost? The fictional Amanita Escandesco serves as both plot device and powerful metaphor, its bioluminescence making it beautiful yet eerily otherworldly. Initially presented as a treatment for neurological disorders, it later reveals its true power, creating neural pathways that resurrect the dead. This premise builds on actual fungal research, making the horror unnervingly plausible. The novel's most disturbing imagery comes from fungi colonizing living tissue. Sydney encounters partially decomposed animals animated by fungal networks, a fuzzy wolf begging, "Release me," and a cougar whose memories she briefly experiences. These creatures represent failed experiments, haunting the forest like living cautionary tales. Like mycelia connecting organisms underground, the characters at Madrona are linked in ways Sydney gradually discovers. Her visions of Farida, telepathic communication with Clayton, and recovered memories suggest connections transcending normal human experience. When Sydney finds mycelia growing from her mouth and fingernails, the horror becomes personal, a violation representing both transformation and invasion. Scientific curiosity evolves into something far more sinister, a complete reimagining of humanity. When Sydney discovers she died and was resurrected, she confronts existential questions about personhood. Is she the same person without her memories? Does erasing memory change who someone essentially is? The Foundation's experiments show that resurrection altered Sydney's personality fundamentally, eliminating her ADHD along with her brilliant but morally ambiguous scientific drive. This new Sydney exhibits different behaviors, falling quickly for Wes rather than focusing on groundbreaking research. This transformation highlights how neurological differences like ADHD aren't simply conditions to be cured, but integral aspects of identity that shape values, priorities, and capabilities. The loss of these traits effectively creates a different person in the same physical form. A Polaroid dated Christmas 2023, when Sydney believes it's still 2022, becomes devastating evidence that shatters her reality. The shoebox of photos documenting 3 years of forgotten memories creates profound identity disruption. What makes you uniquely you? Your memories? Your neurological wiring? Your moral compass? And who has the right to alter these fundamental aspects? The true horror lies not in supernatural elements, but in scientific exploitation. The Madrona Foundation represents research without ethical oversight, a chilling reflection of real-world scientific abuses throughout history. The Foundation's exploitation operates on multiple levels. They build on indigenous land without fair compensation, exploit wildlife, and target vulnerable students and researchers who are broken and alone with minimal connections. Their recruitment specifically targets individuals with financial troubles, estrangements, or mental health struggles. Sydney embodies the perfect subject, brilliant but isolated, having lost her scholarship and desperate for opportunity. Her ADHD makes her both valuable for creative thinking and vulnerable due to emotional regulation challenges. Clayton's fate exemplifies this exploitation. Repeatedly killed and resurrected through experiments, his plea to Sydney, "They keep killing me," reveals his endless torture. The underground labs physically manifest this exploitation. Hidden beneath the teaching facility's pristine surface where students perform busy work, the real research happens in sterile chambers, mirroring the Foundation's benevolent facade, concealing horrific experiments below. Amidst the horror, Sydney and Wes's relationship evolves from forbidden desire to profound connection, ultimately saving both from the Foundation's corruption. Their initial physical attraction masks a deeper emotional undercurrent. As Sydney's memories return, she recalls their genuine first meeting and her initial resistance, having been burned by a professor at Stanford. Months later, she lowered her guard and fell deeply in love. They maintained their relationship in secret, creating an intimate world apart from the Foundation's darkness. Love proves redemptive when Wes chooses Sydney over his career, demanding they both leave the Foundation, rejecting its ends justify the means philosophy. Yet love also complicates ethics. Wes's decision to resurrect Sydney without consent, though motivated by love, perpetuates exploitation. Similarly, Sydney's initial rejection of Wes for career ambition shows how love becomes collateral damage to professional success. The epilogue reveals they ultimately find balance, marrying and sailing worldwide while continuing ethical research. This suggests love and scientific pursuit can coexist when neither is sacrificed, perhaps the most hopeful message in an otherwise dark narrative. 2 years after Madrona Lodge burned down, survivors rebuild while seeking justice. Sydney and Wes, now married, sail the world as he works with Doctors Without Borders, their nomadic lifestyle representing freedom while maintaining intellectual pursuits despite trauma. Legal proceedings against Everly focus on illegal animal experiments rather than human resurrection, acknowledging some truths remain too disturbing for public consumption. Sydney's relationship with her research evolves. When Wes presents her work on Amanita excandesco, she recognizes its potential to cure neurological diseases and chooses to pursue it ethically alongside him. The novel suggests that purpose after trauma comes from integrating the past into a new self-understanding. Sydney must reconcile her former and current selves, embracing her brilliance while rejecting previous ethical compromises. Sydney and Wes' sailing offers hope without naivety. They carry Madrona's experiences, but refuse to be defined by them. Their journey represents movement forward, not escaping the past, but navigating with its painful wisdom. Perhaps the most profound resurrection isn't of the body, but of the conscience.